Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted tonight to be on our radio broadcast for our study in the Word of God. I just give God all the praise and glory this evening. We're going to get ready for our devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a short little song, and a prayer for the devotion. Psalms 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusted in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Unto these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto thee, God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that will shatter me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst, whereof they are falling themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. I have just read to you from Psalms 57, from the first verse down to the ninth verse. May God richly add a blessing to his most holy word, to the doers of his most holy word. Y'all hear me?
Is anybody for the Lord to make him over? Just begin to celebrate Jesus.
Hallelujah. You know my other side. I can't go longer high. Let you down so many times. Been freshly defined, thought that I had a plan. I had it all figured out, but the more that you try to be by my side, the more I push you out.
All over the building, and begin to say, Lord, make me over.
Make me over, Lord. Make me over, Lord. Make me over again, Lord.
Is there anybody's prayer out there tonight? Somebody out there sing it. Come on.
Time after time I failed you. Here's your side when they already failed you. Jesus, heal my open wound. I just want to be more like you. Father, I let you down. What's not like you to take it out? Reconcile me, Jesus. I just wanna see
Does anybody want the Lord to make them over again? Anybody tired of messing up time after time after time after time? Anybody ready for change? Make some noise up in this place. Lord, make me. Lord, make me. Does anybody want God to make them over? Take out everything that's not like them. Hey, Lord, make me over. Lord, I realize. Lord, there's some things in my life that I am not pleasing.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Lord, I just come right now, God, in the name of Jesus, asking you to just take over this Bible class on tonight. Lord, I'm asking you right now to send the Holy Spirit, God, to teach us on tonight. Open up our understanding. Open up our minds and hearts. Lord, make us over again, God. In the name of just do what you do, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. Cover every member, and their families. I ask you to encamp angels all around about them to protect them, God, from all hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, make us over tonight, God. Do what you do best, Lord. Teach us your ways and your words, God. Let me decrease on tonight that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach tonight, God. I have no power, no authority of myself, God, but it's you, God, not nothing about me, but it's all you. In the name of Jesus, I bind up every strong man right now. I bind up every strong man. In the name of Jesus, every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every medium, every psychic, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is canceled right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I bind them up now. I cast them out. I command them to go. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask it all. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. So let it be. We're going to get ready to start with our reading on tonight. I'm going to read for Prophetess because she had to work tonight. Chapter 29, now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the reward with Achish. Then said the prince of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? And Achish said unto the prince of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which have been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him unto me and unto this day? And the prince of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the prince of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith shall he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David of whom they sang one to another and danced, saying, Saul slew his thousand and David his 10,000? Then Achish called David and said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright in thy going out and thy coming in with me, and the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming in unto me, and unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord favored thee now not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that these displease not the lords of the Philistines. And David said unto Achish, But what have I done? And what have thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemy of my lord the king? And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servant that are come with thee. And as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light apart, so David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return unto the land of the Philistines. And the Philistine went up to Jezreel. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, or Lichus, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake him? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And David went he and the 600 men that were with him and came to the brook Besor were those that were left behind saved. But David pursued. He and 400 men were 200 abroad behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me, because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belonged to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou would neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of Philistine and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughter, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herd, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial. Mm-hmm. Of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us unto our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day. from that day forward, that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent all the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. To them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramah, and to them which were in Jatai, and to them which were in Aurora, and to them which were in Sithmah, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rachel, and to them which were in the cities of the Jeramelites, and to them which were in the city of Kenite, and to them which were in Horma, and to them which were in Corishan, and to them which were in Ephek, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to hunt. Chapter 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, Saul's son. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearers, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And then his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead. He fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side of Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put the armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all of the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen, y'all. That's some good stuff. I had read it before time, and it's just so interesting, you know, how God favored David, because David was a man after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. So we're going to answer the questions in chapter 29. It's only one question. It says, why did the Philistines send David away from battle against the Israelites? Why did the Philistines send David away? Well, yeah, I know David fought the Philistines.
They were worried that David was going to join with the Israelites and then he would defeat the Philistines.
Yeah.
They were scared that he could possibly get on their side, and he was such a warrior that they didn't want to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because he surely would have turned on for the Israelites, for his people. They did right, because he definitely was going to turn against them. Because that's how, you know, he started killing. He killed Goliath first, shoot, and cut his head off. It's like they cut Jonathan's head off. Back in those days, I guess that's what, you know, they did. They killed you, they cut your head off. Special leader. In chapter 30, David and his men discovered when they got back. What did they discover?
That the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag.
They did what?
Ziklag. That the Amalekites, they invaded the south of Ziklag.
That's right. Yep. That's in verse 1. Yep. And who did David inquire before he had against the Amalekites?
He inquired the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He inquired of the Lord. But you know, that first question, I can't hardly hear you. You need to speak your little voice up. But in that first question, they had took David's wife, all of men and wives and family. So that's really what happened. They had took all of David's stuff. And maybe that's gone down some anyway. But he was upset about that in the other men. So who led David and his men to the camp of the Amalekites? Who led them there? It's in verse 12.
Repeat that. What question? Was it the Egyptian man?
Yeah.
The Israelite. The Egyptian guy. The young man. The Egyptian guy.
Because they had, he was he dead? He was had passed out or something. He wasn't dead.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had passed out. He was being weak.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
They fed him and kind of nourished him back and stuff like that. And God have people in places for a reason. He put them in place for a reason. So he led David there because he said they had left him because he got sick. So he led them there. What did David tell his men to do with the plunder they had received? And that's in verse 23. Because they had wanted to not, let me see.
They didn't want to share with the guys who didn't go with them.
Yep, they didn't want to share with them. They was, oh, no, we ain't going there. We're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're going to share.
Like, just take your wives and kids and let them go on about their business.
Yep. He said, no, we're going to share this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what did David do with some of the plunder? That's between 26 and 31. And he says, when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoils
mm-hmm.
unto the elders of Judah, even to
mm-hmm.
his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoils of the enemy of the Lord. And to them
mm-hmm.
which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramah, and he just shared all of that with all of them. And that's how you have to do it, because when God bless you with things and with money and with whatever, he expects for you to share with other people, because it ain't all yours. It's not your. God don't bless us with a whole lot of money and stuff like that. And we don't share it. What I look like having $500 million and no people need stuff. And here I'm sitting up on the mountain. Mm-mm. That ain't going to happen. I probably wouldn't stay where I am. I'll be somewhere where I'm going to help somebody build some houses, everything I could. Buy some cars and all kind of stuff. That's how you do it. That's how God blesses you. Because he know you'll do what he say do with that, with the money, with the stuff. You know, you can't be selfish when God bless you, because honey, you'll never get it back. When you sow, you know, or you do something, you're gonna reap a harvest. That's why they tell you don't sow into nothing. You ain't not gonna reap a harvest. Why would you go sow to somebody that's not even serving God? You definitely won't reap a harvest from that. Mm-hmm. So they was like somebody with this stuff, because God done blessed us, getting our family back. So we're going to be glad and thankful to help everybody. That's why God made him king. I'm telling you. That's the reason why he made him king. Okay, let's get this chapter. What did they do? Okay, let's get chapter 31, and we're going to talk about it until we get off of here, the rest of it. What happened to Saul and his sons in the Philistine battle? Verse 2.
They got killed.
Mm-hmm.
A horrible death.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it
mm-hmm.
But it was important in God's plan.
Yep. How did Saul die? Verse 4.
He killed his own self.
Mm-hmm.
What did the Philistines do to the body of Saul and his sons? In verse 9, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that's such a horrible
and
thing.
They put him up on the wall so everybody could see.
Mm-hmm. And see, Jonathan, I believe Jonathan and his brother, see, they didn't really have nothing to do with what their dad was doing. They was just being obedient,
mm-hmm.
helping their dad. But let me tell you
mm-hmm.
something. Just like, forgive me, y'all, just like Jezebel was killing all them prophets and her husband, Ahab, or whatever his name is. They was killing all the prophets and doing all that witchcraft. But in the end, the daughter started doing it. Her daughter did the same. They got punished, but the one that got punished the most was her daughter's son, which was her grandson that didn't know nothing about what they did. See, this stuff go down through generations, and you have to be really careful. What Saul did, he got punished, and because they was helping Saul, they got punished. They was in the family with Saul. They got punished. You have to really pray over you when it comes to things like that, because, like I said, I've heard these demons. They'll say, well, these kids or something like that was promised to me years ago from great-grandmother and all this kind of stuff like that. They've been made a deal with the devil. So they have power and stuff like that. You got to be careful. Because what Saul did when he had Samuel brought back up, it really displeased the Lord. So he gave him over to a reprobate man even before then. But he really did then, because how you going to go, you supposed to be the king, and you finna go to the witch of whatever it is, Andor, and ask her to bring Samuel up, a man of God. And she's looking at him like, what you do that for? You trick me. Because she know God will put her stadies that she won't never see the light. And she wasn't trying to do all that. And she was a medium witch or whatever she was. She was still there. There ain't no such thing as no good witch, bad witch, nothing like that. No good medium, no bad medium. They witches and sorcerers and stuff like that. But the thing is, Jonathan was nothing like him in respect. I don't believe his brothers was either. They just took the flack from what their father had did. Then they picked him up, cut the heads off, and picked him up. Just like when David killed Goliath, he cut his head off and took it to Saul. Yes, he did. So back in those days, I guess that's what you had to do when you won the fight or when you won the battle. But when God had gave the Israelite Canaan, and when they went to take Canaan, possess the land, they didn't even get all of it. And this was happening here. They ran, they fled, and the Philistines still took. They lived in the cities, what they city. And I understand they probably were some big Philistines. Well, I know if they wasn't big, those men were trained. They were trained, and David's men wasn't trained. So they probably ran for their life. But the thing is, they took those cities. God had gave all this stuff to the Israelites. They got some of the Canaan lands, but they didn't get half as what they were supposed to get. They didn't possess the land. They were sitting there waiting on God to give them the land. God said, you take it, you possess it, and they didn't. And just like now, they should have went back and tried and asked God, could they go back and take their land back, their cities back. They didn't. They didn't. And that's not good. Do we have any questions or any comments? So, let me see. Because it's a lot to this, because they king after this, man. King after this. See, in chapter 29, it just goes to show you how they was really scared of David, because as many as the Philistines that there was, because, you know, David had 600 men, and they had three times as many men as David did. But they still were scared of David. They would not let fight the Philistines. They wouldn't let him do it because they knew against the Israelites. And they did right, because David was going to turn on them. He definitely was going to turn on them. And I probably would have too. It came from chapter 28 too, where they was and stuff. But the Philistines went to, I think it was Aphek. And they was trying to, you know, they was in the battle with the Israelites up in Aphek. And you know that King it's pronounced Achish, whatever it is, he really trusted David. But the Philistines did not trust David. They knew he was not going to fight against his own people, and God looking at him, because David was king over Israel. They knew that. They didn't know that, but they knew. They was like, oh no, this man slick right here. We ain't finna let him do that. Them princes got mad at what Achish was saying. He was saying, now this man been with me for years, and he did nothing. I found no fault in David. So I don't know what y'all talking about. Them princes looked at him like, man, you better get this man out of here, because he's going to attack us. And he got some strategy out of this world, but they didn't know it was God telling him what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. It wasn't even about it. And he wanted to convince that David, that he really could trust David, but they weren't having it. They didn't see it. So they told him he had to go. And so he finally told him, your cousin, you're going to get killed. So by the time he got ready to go, he found out that he got word that they had burned up their little stuff, their little towns, and took their wives, family, and stuff like that. And when you out there on a mission for God or with God, he'll let you know if there's something going on. And God will fight your battle, because they went and got their families and killed all them people and took all the spoils and everything. And David was so happy to get his family back. He was blessing everybody that was around. Oh, no, we're going. They were saying, no, the ones that didn't come help us fight, we ain't giving them nothing. They said, oh, no, we ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. That's just like if we go and get some food somewhere or be blessed with some food, and the people that didn't go to get the food, oh, we ain't giving them nothing. Yeah, you got to help. They may have kids and might be hungry. Mm-hmm. But when God gives you something, you gotta do what God tell you to do with it. You can't sit on stuff like that. If you got it, you got to give it. You got to give it. So that's I think that's the biggest part of what I learned, and I already knew it, but what I learned, David is a man after God's own heart, because he's going to do what God tells him to do. He may have sinned like we all do. He may have sinned, but he repented and he loved God. And I mean, he did some bad sins, but he still repented. And he still loved God. And God saw his heart anyway. He seen his heart. That's who he picked to be king. Oh, now, he picked Saul, all right. He did choose Saul, but Saul disobeyed God. Then he really went off the deep end because he kept disobeying God. So that's when he started looking for another king, because he knew that Saul wasn't going to work out, that he was going to turn. Any comments or any questions?
I was just going to say, in that 30th chapter in verse 8, where it said David inquired of the Lord, and that's something I think that we all have to realize that no matter, because what happened to them was very devastating, but David took time mm-hmm. to talk to the Lord about what should I do. And I think for us
right.
as people, we tend to be so emotional and, you know, and I'm just, you know, speaking for myself, that when things mm-hmm. happen to us, we want to act really fast without taking the time to ask God, do
mm-hmm.
I go and get that? Because sometimes he may want you to leave it where it is, or he may want you to not go pursue
right.
it. So we need to take that time to say, you know what, to seek the Lord on what, how do I deal with it? No matter how hurting and, you know, hurtful and devastating or traumatic it
mm-hmm.
was in our lives, we have to say, God, how do you want me to do it? Do you want me to pursue it? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? And I
yeah.
think that's something that David, no matter what happened to him, he would ask the Lord, like, what do you want me to do? He would talk to the Lord, like, okay, this is what's going on with me, Lord. I need you to help me with this. Or I need you to figure this out. He always talk to the Lord. He always sought the Lord, and that's something that, you know, I try to do, not just act on situations, but to ask God, how do you want, you know, to override
yeah.
my own feelings and ask God instead of
yeah.
just being emotional and jumping and doing, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it right there.
And
we
I just want to add to, I just want to add to that, too. In chapter 27, I was really taken aback by a lot because it's what we living in today. It's just sometimes it baffles me that I see some of the same stuff that was then that we dealing with here on earth today. And I think it's when
mm-hmm.
my much better point is when, you know, no doubt David didn't like being rich. He didn't like being rejected by the Philistines, the rulers.
Mm-hmm.
But people, we don't like to be rejected, period. But see, God, he uses that rejection that he went through and that we go through of ungodly people in our life, and he did it in David's life too as well. And, you know, many people, we hesitant to live out. And to live out, you get what I'm saying, for Jesus. To live out
mm-hmm.
and then to live out for Jesus because, you know, we're afraid of rejection of the ungodly people. You get what I'm saying and what they would say
mm-hmm.
about us living out for Jesus. And, you know, how much better would it, how much better it is to be all out for Jesus, you know, and to trust him when the ungodly when the ungodly rejects us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
God uses it for our good.
That's right.
And for them. I don't know if I'm making it clear enough. I'm trying to break it down as much as I can.
That's
see, God, he'll use
us.
Cool. He'll use it for our good.
Mm-hmm.
And for theirs, too, as well. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, in many ways, David
yeah.
was in a worse place for any child of God. He was in a worse place. He had too much of the world in him to be at peace in the Lord. He had too much of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and he had so much of the world in him to be at peace in the world. I don't know if you understand that. Okay. So God, you know, God, he spoke to David through this, but David got to listen, just like he'll speak to us through this, but we got to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
That's right.
So I just, that really got me right there. And it just, I don't know if I explained it or broke it down the way I received it.
Oh, you did.
I mean, so I don't want to be rejected by God, but I want to live out. And I want to live out for Jesus. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think God will reject us at all. But the thing is, he'll use rejection to draw us to him. Because people sometimes
mm-hmm.
will reject us. But we can run
mm-hmm.
to God, and he'll never leave us or forsake us. He never will. Never will. He knows in so many people rejection. They're dealing with rejection. It's a lot of people dealing with
mm-hmm.
hurt and rejection, believe me. And but God will never leave you or forsake you. I don't care who do it. God won't do it. And if we just depend on God, if we just call on him, he'll love you so much. He'll just love on you. I'm telling you, I've been there, done that. God would love on you so much. You wouldn't even worry about that rejection. You'll go forward because God got his ways of doing things. He got his ways of drawing us. He got his ways of loving us and encouraging us. And sometimes when you're rejected, it's from man. It's just from man, but it's never from God. And that's what we got to be really thankful for. Because men ain't don't have a heaven or a hell. They can't take care of you like God can take care of you. They can't love you like God love you. They can't, they no match for God. Not no match for the Lord when it comes to his people. No match. But you see, the thing that I thought about through all of this, if you don't ask God, should I do this, he's not going to say anything. But when you want to win, when you want victory over the enemy, you'll be saying, God, should I take my money out this bank? God, should I go to the store today? God, how about the laundromat on Friday? What you think I should do? A shout? You crazy talking to yourself. But you have to not lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge God, and he'll show you, he'll direct you just what you want him to do. He'll direct you. So it's a good thing. David, I really appreciate David. Anybody, I don't want to take all over. Anybody got anything? And y'all know I love David. I love David. I really do. I love David. He was special to God. Like I said, if he sinned, we sinned. No one sinned greater than the other. We gotta just know that. No one sinned greater than the other. And when and you know what? And they said, well, don't take all that and all this and this and that. It take all of that and more, because we're not perfect, but we're trying to just get perfection. We're trying to live a holy life before the Lord. We may not never get where we want to be, but we'll definitely get where God takes us. See, God got our destiny already together. We just got to get there. He know the plans and the purposes he have for us. They are good. We just got to get there. We got to get there, and that's the main thing. That's the main thing. So, any more comments or questions?
I think David was used to being overlooked and rejected, because when he was chosen, you know, he was out in the field, and they didn't even think about David being the king. And so a lot of times from our youth, we have that rejection, you know, kind of like, you know, Mimi was talking about. And, but it's a lot of times it's people rejecting the spirit that's in us. And it's divine in the way that God is trying to keep those people away from us. So sometimes those people that we're being rejected by is God's way of getting them out of our way or getting them away from us. But we, our perception of it is like, why don't they want me? Why don't they? Instead of saying, God, you must not want that person around me. So changing the way we see, you know, our relations and how we navigate relationships with people, because I need to see myself the way God sees me. And, you know, as long as he loves me and accepts me, that's what's important.
Yeah.
But,
you
know, we grow up, and the enemy, he plays on that, you know, because when we feel rejected and ashamed, overlooked, you know, we tend to not work towards fulfilling our purpose because we don't think we have any worth, you know, but that's just a delusion that the enemy, you know, puts in us and then tries to keep us, like you said, from getting to our destiny. But we got to know who we are in God you know, and look at what God is doing in us and not what's going on in the world, you know, because it's really the God in us that people reject, because that means change. That means, you know, they're going to have, you know, because when people encounter God, something's going to happen. And so a lot of people ain't ready, you know, for that. So they rejecting you. You think they're rejecting you, but they're really rejecting the spirit that's in you that's going to cause you to, you know, do something they may not be ready to do.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That was good right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was good. But, yeah, I just, like I said, you're right. David was always looked over because he was always with the sheep. And he was always tending to the sheep. And so when they did come looking for the king, to anoint whoever it was, he tried every one of them brothers, and he was like, "Nah, mm-hmm. Lord, stammer, nah, that ain't him. That ain't him. Got the littlest one, the least one. That's out there killing mm-hmm. bears and lions and stealing sheep."
Mm-hmm.
Woo! My. I'm telling you, and then turn around and use him to kill the tallest, biggest man on the ground,
mm-hmm.
on the earth at that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Goliath, and then cut his head off. Goliath, look at him like, boy, go sit down somewhere. Ooh, don't
mm-hmm.
you never underestimate God.
Mm-hmm.
He can use anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He can use anybody. I don't
mm-hmm.
care how big and fat that you are. I don't care how you look. If you big, tall, small, whatever, when God want to use you, if he can use an animal to speak, he can use anybody, baby, children. And you know, I feel like that's what's going to happen in the future. He's going to start using babies, can't even hardly talk, to do stuff, to blow your mind. I'm just telling you. He's going to start using the seed at an early age to let us know, look, you know, could nobody have done this but God. This is kind of stuff looking that God, for God to do, and he's going to do that. It's a lot of things he's going to show us, you know, that even the youth, he's going to use them, that scripture. Uh-huh. He's going to use them. I'm telling you, the seed. He's going to use the sea. That's why they're trying to kill them all up now. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't even want to get into it, but I'm not one for abortions, and I ain't saying, I ain't knocking nobody else, but it's the sea that they're killing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the sea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got to, I mean, hey, it's a lot of people, Catholics and stuff, and the Catholics don't mind doing it, and a lot of Baptists and every other thing. But let me tell you, denomination, but let me tell you something. God ain't with that, and I'm not with it either. I'm not. I don't care about women and all this kind of stuff. It's just a deep thing for me. I just got so deep in this thing about women. You know, I just started looking and researching and praying about it, because we as women, we'll turn on each other so quickly. And we and women, you just think about women, female. Why God put the woe on women? Why did he put the F-E on female? Think about it. I researched that W-O. It was the one definition said it was, what did he say? Deformed man. I was very insulted, but it said it was a deformed man, woman, because God took us on the side. So they say it's one definition said it was a woman is a deformed man. You hear me? That's they backstab each other. They talk about each other. Anyway. I had to research it because God wanted me to know some things. He just wanted me to know some things because
a lot of times I could never figure out why women act so bad. Even in the church, that's why they had us to be quiet and learn from your husband. But we just something. It's something. And we, but not all women. You know, you got some. But you, when you look like you're different anyway, you're a different person. You're a different creature. But you got some out there, baby, that, and I don't want to be. And I don't want to be around them. But, yeah, I had to go and research it. Why God put the woe on women and put the fear on female. And just God said, let that mystery alone. You'll find something you don't want to hear. And I did. So I'm not going to fool with it no more. Because I didn't like what it said. It's not in the Bible that, but in the dictionary it is. So anyway, that's another time, another study. We'll get ready I don't know. It should be okay. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in his name. Okay. Bringing him where he should have been. Thank you for opening up our understanding. Thank you for showing us the love that you have in us. We just tell you to cover every one of my boys. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give us what we need. Give us what we can need. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to cover their homes and their vehicles. Everyone, oh dear God, bless and cover. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Now in the morning, when I get on the live broadcast, I might get there a half hour early, like at 6:30, because I'm going to have to get out of here by 8:30. Usually on Friday, this late for 2 hours. I have to be at work at least by 9 o'clock. I'm a college girl, and she'll stay there until I get there. But I'm going to try to get on the live broadcast at 6:30. I'm going to text some people tonight in probably Brown. See if you can text too. Whoever, just let them know I'll be on there by 6:30 in the morning so I can, because it'd be so many people. I'm trying to get everybody, but yeah, I'll be on there at 37 o'clock like we do. I'll do on there at 6:30. They are going on to get prayed for and stuff. So anyway, I just love y'all, and thank you for the support. God bless you all. You all have a good night. Good rest of the
day. I love y'all.
So relax.
Love you all.
Love you too.
Have a great night.
God bless you.
Love you.
God bless you.
Love you too. God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.